against your set.
Yeah. Can I have it a little lower?
Oh, yeah. It's just a tiny.
Oh, God.
There we go.
Oh,
is that good?
All right. All right. Well, I can't describe how I feel to be here. It's the first time I'm coming to Ireland. Actually, I have a love of fear, or used to have a love of fear with Marian Faithful. Mm-hmm. And I used to sing that song, that heartbreaking song. She sings about Ireland. So I know we have a connection in Caribbean and in Jamaica with Ireland. And sometime when I hear you guys say something, me thinking it come from Jamaica because you sound just like we sound sometimes. And I'm like looking around to see if any black people or pure white people talking like me. So here I am. Happy to be with the word. So delighted to be among people who are interested in poetry and the word, because it has given me so much. And in terms of my community, my history, I contend that we survive because of the oral tradition. We didn't survive and then have the oral tradition. Because of the oral tradition that we survived as a people in the West, who were brought to work as slaves and still suffer a lot of discrimination. So I am one of those really proud people to carry on the oral tradition, and dub poetry is just a new sort of form of it. I'm going to read a piece from my new CD, and of course, you know, I have a heavy bag, so I want to go home light. This is alias. Right. And to remind those people with their cell phones, just remember to turn it on after. And turn it back on, okay? After. So the piece I'm going to read is called Black Boys Can't Hide. And it's just the idea that, you know, there's something about culture and land and who you are that make you distinct and unique, although you're part of the human race. But black voice emerges, you know, throughout the centuries. We've seen it in music, gospel, blues, much of pop. We've seen it in reggae, calypso, and hip-hop, dub poetry, etc. So I just wanted to celebrate that, and especially to celebrate the young people, because they get a hard rap. It's like people forget they're once young sometime. And, you know, the young people out there taking the word to the street, communicating, etc. Black voice can't hide. A voice signifies the real, relational, spirit through quests, model-dependent breath. A shadow steel, not so real. Operation, imagination, digital, virtual and reality, and virtual reality. Physics dualities, beyond convention to reinventions. What does a voice becomes when it stands, for something? What does a voice becomes when it stands, for something? Questioning and voicing to feel a sense of the real. Poets turning routine into ritual, resounding, sounding sound symbols of language into language play. Unravel the perfect embroidered geometry of unilateral reality with its intricate layers of who, when, where, and how to feel. The what shall speak for itself, the poet says. The what shall speak for itself, the poet says. Voice threading stance and eyes and light. Pull through the cracks in things that let the light in. Mr. Leonard Cohen. An order against disorder and randomness expressed in the poet's sound. Voice sounding, resounding, founding, pounding in the poet's sound. images and eyes, sight and messages, meshing your metaphors as meteorites, Mr. Clifton Joseph. So to you, the young poets who stand up and voice crafted vision, sight up into lines, set alight energy in words, image, vibes, I say, we're happy that you have to say, you say your words, finna bust up, so you will self-define, don't walk blind. I say, me say to you, you word chatterers, goes the glory. A play forward link in our ancestors' story. Word, song, power, connectivity station, spiritual underground railroad vibration. Self-determination, navigation, one voice, then two in community, ever exploring. Word, sound, power. On one book, vital, ital, alive with pride. Spoken word, dub poetry, hip-hop vibe. Spoken word, dub poetry, hip-hop vibe. Black voice can't hide. Black voice can't hide. Black voice can't hide. What does a voice become? When it stands for something. And I'll do a poem for Billie Holiday. Everybody know Billie Holiday.
Hey, yeah.
Lady Day, you know, there are many people who suffer. Yeah, can you give me a little more volume there? Yeah. There. Together? Yeah, there are a lot of artists who suffer, and they suffer, and sometimes they live tragic lives, going in the gap, and doing things to stay in the gap. But, you know, we benefit, and I just like sometimes to acknowledge them, and Billie Holiday certainly was one of those artists who was just so hopelessly addicted to whatever and to love, and gave us that range of emotion. It was like a university of emotion, I call her. So I want to do a poem for Billie Holiday. Oh, Billy, you lived in your drawl, sounds swirling out of black, rainbow splintering through the sections of grays to your omniscient blues, so full of self, of music in your face proud, passions burst into words, pride aches, heartbeat and slow, defiance note by note, Bessie Smith, swing converges, Louis Armstrong blowing language, breaking words apart, scat, scattering soul all over art, all over American culture. Bill's lips give shapes and hues to longings, mediation on deep spirit, on pain of being, elusive love, motions from the blood, fire and history from the bones. Bill's voice, a poet's ease, and all that. I'll swing back to a poem from Jamaica. I grew up in Jamaica. I left right over high school when I was about 17. Or close to 17, 16 plus. And I'm trying to remember a lot of what I grew up with so I don't forget. Although I used to go back, but I haven't been back in like 15 years or so. So every time I hear stories about Jamaica, or I, you know, I have a little notebook and I try. And as soon as a memory comes, I just write it down. And then when I have time, I go back and I build a little narrative or a little poem about it. So this is Jamaica, I remember. Sunday evening breeze, rice and peas, roast pork and chicken curry. We change from our Sunday school best, frill socks turned so delicately down,
Bata, cha-cha-cha, soulfully brushed to sparkle, the crepe's canvas perfect white, growing in the Sunday evening light. We pack up a canteen thermos, four medium-sized tin can, hooked together, swing upon each other like a Jacob ladder. Parboiling red beans, chicken back in yellow grease, okra, ground provisions, dinner for granny, auntie, cousin, lovey, Hilda. Down the lane beside Philippo Baptist Church, French Street corner, Spanish town, close to Russian shop, cross from the Chinaman store, where the East Indian family grows callaloo next door. So abundant tall the guinea tree shadows, ever blooming limes and a small susumba grove, true banging broken wooden gate where the cistern hides. Its pipe drip, 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 dripping. No matter how hard you tighten the trick, lock it off slight. Just right, slow down, quiet. Shh, shh, shh. Tip away. Shh, shh, shh. Or else it pours again to dance brush green, slime also lazily on the iron gray of the cistern's concrete. And we children, one by one, get our hugs and kisses from granny, auntie, cousin, loving Hilda. Half blind, lovesome, an old-tooted smile, soft wrinkles jiggled and rippled when sparked to laughter. How granny, auntie, cousin, loving Hilda got her name, I couldn't say, but it spurted and spurted with her age. We light up her day, her very existence. We tinker grand aunt with a proper G, our granny, auntie, cousin, lovey Hilda. Not connected by blood or marriage or relative in common. She was only a woman who way back when, a child in my grandmother's childhood, made blood by passing time. Made blood by passing time. And I have this one in my little stack here that I'm working on. I'm working on to play with a band, actually, because sometimes I do by myself, and I do with one or two musicians, or I do like electronically, and then I have a full-out reggae band. It's always my dream to run away with a reggae band, so I get to do that. So this young man, a few months ago, or last year, last year, in the States, I'm sure you heard from the news, he was going to a gated community, had his hoodie on and all of that, just left his girlfriend, bought some stuff at the store, some little snack thing, and somebody ran him down, a vigilante, and next thing you know, he was dead. So, you know, we always talk about the American dream, but for a lot of people, it's really the American nightmare. So I was thinking about that, and I started this piece of work. So I'll just give you the first part of it. A boy shortcuts through a gated community. Bottles pop, chips, chiclets in his backpack. Hoodie, youth culture, stylee, chicken, chicken, kill, figure, hill, jigger, go, figure. He's chased by vigilante and attacked because he's black, black, black. Next thing you know, he's lying dead on his back, back, back. And his mama cried, "Welcome to the American nightmare. Welcome to the American nightmare. Welcome to the American nightmare." I'm running from table to table. I hope you don't mind. Yeah. So we did a little workshop today, which is just great. It's just it's great to see to be with writers. I'm still in folks that I love hanging out with poets, you know. The novelists, they know that there's a chance they could hit a big prize, like a book
or they could get signed for a movie. So I think every novelist secretly believe that, you know, they're going to make a million one day. But poets, man, if they make the bus fare, they'd be happy. So just hanging out with them, it's really a great feeling. So I love that. I love that. I love that. So I'm going to read from one of my earlier collections. I'm going to give you a range of stuff. Some of the stuff here is just some newer stuff. So I'm going to read from this collection, Women Do This Every Day. And yeah, share some of this with you and tell you, you know, some things about the poems too as I go. All right. So homelessness is one of the things that really bother me as an individual, especially in North America. I don't know how it is here, but we have enough for everything. We have enough. We're lucky. Aboriginal people kept their land. We take the resources, slave labor, waves of immigrants from your country, other countries come and build what we have. And we have a great life over there. But there are a few people who are, you know, the safety net just get pulled when something happened to them, right? For years and years we have a safety net, but as we get more conservative governments coming in, they dismantle the safety net. So that is definitely an equal opportunity move there, because there are people who you see on the street who used to own the house down the road just because they're just clawing away at the you know, the social system. It is not something I can say that Canadians generally want. Canadians love to see that people are okay, and that at least they have the basics, and that there are, you know, there are opportunities for them. So I can tell you, it's a corporate move to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. All right. So, you know, homelessness is a problem, especially in the big city and in winter. And I just had to write something about it.
I was rushing to get out of the cold one day, headed for my car. As I rounded the corner, a piece of cardboard shuffled and fell. I looked to see what was moving, and yet to my surprise, a woman sat in the alleyway, a woman, her bag's her life. She has no home, she has no home. This woman, she has no home, no place to lie, no warm inside. This woman, she has no home. I sat in my office looking at the snow, see it piling high, thinking I need a much warmer coat to face the gray outside. I saw a man pulling a mountain, so sight is cast off load. No job, no social security, no permanent abode. He has no home, he has no home. This man, he has no home, no place to lie, no warm inside. This man, he has no home. So many among us, so many left to roam, so many from the corners of our eyes. Look around, look around, look around, look around, look around, look around, look around. No place to turn, they just got a rotten piece of the pie. Just a rotten piece of the pie, they just got a rotten piece of the pie. They have no home, they have no home.
There was a guy in Toronto who stood at a big cross street, and he had his pocket full of $5 bills, and he had a big sign. He said, I have a home, I have a job, can you use $5? And he was giving it out to people. So definitely not the Canadian people. Well, we know that. Politicians control everything. All right, this is called One Poem Town, and when we just started out, myself and some other friends, Clifton Joseph, Devon Houghton, we were doing this kind of poetry, right? And we would do this, the community would come out, we would do it, and people started to hear about us, and a whole bunch of people would come out, you know, dozens and dozens. Then we tried to hook up with the establishment in Canada. This is many years ago. Oh, I was in my early 20s then. And they're like, what you guys are doing? It's not poetry. We don't want you here. We don't want you to come and share our money. It's one pot. Right? So I said to them, it was a big controversy, and of course split the main poets organization. But I remember saying to them, what do you think we do? What do you think we perform? Newspaper article? So, I remember one guy said, does it mean all of us have to do that too? And I said, you should try it. And you know, the funny thing, all those people were making the noises and were kind of against us. They're nowhere to be seen. We're still standing, we're still doing our stuff. We're publishing, we have publishing companies, you know, recording this, that, and we're teaching, whatever. You can't even find them anywhere, right? So, I don't know what to say. I mean, I wish them well, but it's certainly poetry was not. I wish them well gardening. But poetry was not the main thing in their hearts, right? And we were just doing it. So, hey, this is a one-poem town. This is a one-poem town. Write it on your macrame versus two Baba Green Minds. Keep it cool on the pH, cause if you bring one in any other way, we'll shoot you with metaphors. Tie you collars and hang you high in ironies. And drop a pun your tour. And run you down and out of town, cause this is a one-poem town. And hey, what you doing here anyway? Don't come with no bling, jing, ring, ding, zing, something, calling it poetry, cause this is a one-poem town, and you're not here to stay, are you? That was my response to the establishment. And no, we are the establishment. They don't do anything now without consulting us. It's gravy all the way. Oh boy. All right, this is my social worker poem. And I must apologize to all the social worker in the house. Sometimes I get invited to big conferences. They're pretty serious government conferences, and I make sure to do this and a couple of poems like this. And I always get a couple of people come up to me crying and say, oh, I'm a social worker, and you got a poem like that. And I'm like, well, the cap doesn't fit, why wear it? So, and the other thing with this poem is I started at the back of the poem, at the back of the page, just to drive the establishment crazy. Say she was a social worker! But she was just a disciple from hell. Say she came to save the people, but could hardly save herself. She worked from dusk till sun, then oh, she pushed, she dragged, she sailed. And the people that didn't see her, she was a lion of earth. And she always used to say, you see, my job is to explain a policy. I don't make them, I just apply them. Whose side are you on? I'm just doing my job. I like you people. Whose side are you on? Well, you don't have a policy to deal with your request. Whose side are you on? I like you people. Hey, social worker, how are you today? Why treat me so sore? If I'm not poor, you ain't got no pay. If I'm alive, but conform to policy manuals. Oh, yeah. The system would work just fine if some persons weren't human. Fit. Into a little square, a computer printout page. Say she was a social worker. But you were just a disciple from hell. So I hope I didn't offend anybody. And in some ways I think it's a poet's job. Okay, this next piece is called Rubber Duck Style in a Regent Park. And Regent Park is the first and largest public housing complex in Canada. It's right downtown Toronto. It was built first from people coming, from the Maritimes, from Newfoundland and Labrador and so forth, could come. They just come as immigrants, so they would be right downtown Toronto. They have public housing, and they could work in the sweatshops and the factories for minimum wage because their housing, you know, costs were more or less 25%, and that would keep them in that cycle because they just come in. That's where they are. Then, you know, it all worked. So it's a bit of a hotbed, and then, you know, waves of immigrants came in, the West Indians came in, and then Vietnamese came in, and then later waves of immigrants, as wars and disturbances broke out around the world into that area. It's an address that people who are looking for a job, they don't put it on, they ask their cousins or some of their friends if they could use their address, because if their address shows up on a job application, you're not going to get the job, right? Very dense, but now they've totally redeveloped it. They got the developers, trust me, developers control Toronto. Go there, man, it's the developers' haven. Everybody's in on it. So they're redeveloping now, and it's a, you know, primary pricey place. You can walk to Bay Street. From there. So it's good. I think it's good for everybody. It's going to be mixed housing. So they're going to have the same amount of housing for everybody. But over the last, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, it was quite a hotbed of conflict, but also one of creativity. Because as you know, as people are beaten down, their spirit rises up. And what do they have? They don't have, you know, the things to express it in, be race car drivers or whatever. They have their voices, they have their little instruments they can afford. And, you know, it's really, in fact, a lot of my creativity got sparked by working. In another life, I worked as a legal worker, by working with those folks down there. I mean, that's where I think real creativity happens. I just get the juice of it. So I wanted to capture that history. Also for my community, so that, you know, I like to encode things that when people come later on, they don't say, you know, they know what went on. It doesn't look like, okay, nothing went on, nobody was there. So I like to inscribe our mark.
The morning broke the news of a robbery. Pam Mile went, couldn't hold the load. Them took her to the station in a paddy wagon screaming. Our Johnny got a gun from an ex-policeman. Oh Lord, oh Lord. What is your society a do to we sons? Rubber duck style in a region park. Man a dub it in a dance in a region park. Oh Lord. Forget your troubles and dance. Forget your bills and hurry up yourself. Forget your dreams gathering dust, dust, dust on the shelf. DJ rapper, hear him chant. Pump some music on track for him platform. Cut it wild. Say the system vile, double it in a dance, frustration pile in a different style in a region park. Oh Lord, oh Lord. Could have been a gun, but it's a mic in his hand. Could have been a gun spilling out those lines, but it's a mic, it's a mic, it's a mic. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, air. Yeah. Rhythm line, that's in here from him heart outside. Culture carry him pass and steady in mind. Man take a draw and feel in time. Words got harsh and tried to find explanations for the sufferings of the times. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, yeah. Forget your troubles and dance. Forget your bills and hurry up yourself. Forget your dreams gathering dust, 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 dust. It's a long time we're sweating here. It's a long time we're waiting here to join society's rights. It's a long time we're beating down your door. It's a long time since we made the trip across the Atlantic on the slave ship, ship, ship. It's a long, long time we're knocking. And every time you slam the door, say, no job, discrimination, injustice, tease, tease. I feel the whip lick, I feel the whip lick, and it's the same boat, it's the same boat, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, yeah, rubber duck style in a region park, man, I dub it in a dance in a region park, oh Lord, DJ chant out, cutting it wild, say one of it dub it in a different style, when doors close down on society's rights, windows will pry open in the middle of the night. Dash hopes run wild in the middle of the night. Dash hopes run wild in the middle of the night. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, yeah. Monday morning broke the news of a robbery. And the anxiety piece. Why do you call that album anxiety, right? And as I say, it's available.
It's been launched online.
I had a weekend party online. I don't know if it's it's a weekend party online. I know it's weird, but my daughter just says, Mom, transcend and get with the program. I stopped resisting. I just jump and say, well, I guess I can have a weekend party online, invite all my friends and a couple hundred show up, let them listen and comment, they talk to each other, and I go on and respond. And so I extended it for another week, so you can go on to and check it out and listen to some stuff, see what people are saying. So yeah, so I have this CD, and would love for you to buy a few. Like Christmas is coming, so you know, make a pile like this. Because I don't want to take it back. And you love it, though. You love it. Even if you quarrel with it, you love it. So, I put a lot of love in it. So the title track is Anxiety, and it explained on the CD why I use why the site called Anxiety, and Monday does. I think anxiety is a metaphor for our times. I think everybody's anxious. Poor people anxious because they can't make ends meet. Every time them say they must hope on this, but when you get to the door of opportunity, it like lock up. They can't open. You know, it's like a whole chain of things. If you're poor, your children have to be poor. I don't understand. So it's just that anxiety demands, you know, everything going up. So yeah, that must cause some kind of anxiety, whether people know it or not. And middle class, I mean, I think middle class of the world got it good. I caught myself in on that, but we're anxious too, because, you know, they advertise something for a year, a new car, a new fridge, and as soon as they buy it, bops, the next month they get a better one. How do you feel? So, you know, that keeping up is anxious. I guess most people want to keep up. And, you know, it's true that middle class, you know, pay a lot in their taxes because they pay for the rich folks. And, you know, it causes some anxiety. They'd like some more leisure and money, too. And, you know, put some more towards their kids. But anyway, and I guess rich people anxious. They need to be anxious because we're going to have to redress that situation, that 1%. It's not. It's immoral. You can't take all of our collective labor, all of the Earth's resources, and you lock it up, you know, for yourself. I mean, you should be at the 1% commission, not the 1% that people own 90% of the world's wealth. I don't believe in war, but that's conditions for war. I mean, you know, anytime. So they ought to be anxious. And I'm sure they are, because they know that sooner or later, you know, we might be a little tired, but you know what? Our children, they're not stupid. They see what's going on. And, you know, sometimes they aim at the wrong target, but they're going to get it right soon. And they're going to organize. And, you know, it has to, be some kind of redress. One earth, one nation, one human race. We have to take care of everybody. At least to a great level. So that's my philosophy. The pattern of lint on the tablecloth could hold her gaze for many a day. She follows thread, intricate lint trapped in a web. In the swirling of her coffee, in the swirling of her coffee, in the swirling of her coffee. Members are trapped, dreams run free. She played with patent rim of gold, antique cup, the spoon, chime, and chink that she stirred. Breaks the silence in her apartment. The world went dead inside her head. Try she may, she couldn't pluck herself away. The more she thinks, the less she feels. Her mounting fear erases the place she'll arrive at. She walks to the closet, opens the door, stares at the Ming she once wore in those nightclothes. Remember, and her favorite song is a tune called Forget on the tip of her lips, waiting to be expressed. A world so delicately held in a motionless spell, and all could disappear in a flash. Members are trapped, dreams run free in an absurdity. In the swirling of her coffee, in the swirling of her coffee, in the swirling of her coffee. A woman stirs her coffee in the chiming of the spoon, the whirl of the moon, the stillness of her thoughts. So delicately held in the swirling of her coffee. No one wants her scream. No rescue team pluck her from her pallid dream. Memories are trapped, dreams run free in an absurdity. In the swirling of her coffee, in the swirling of her coffee, in the swirling of her coffee, in the swirling of her coffee.
Okay. Anybody have any questions or comments or anything they want to ask, tell me? Critique?
More.
Yeah?
More.
Anybody else? I know, dull poetry. You don't like that poetry. I'm the female. Just evolved out of reggae culture. You know, people who can't sing, but we love reggae and love, like, wish you could sing like Bob Marley or Pizza Dutch.
Legalize it! And I will advertise it!
But we can't sing, you know, but we love words, so we can throw a few words on the page, right? So, and it just give us that Jamaican rhythm in the language. It just give us that sense and reggae, so. Able to do All right, I'll do a couple more. I have one special one. Don't let me leave without doing it. That one is about giving birth. That one is about, yeah. And that one is dedicated to all the people I've given birth and to all the women. Okay. I'm going to read one about home. I don't know what your relationship to home is. You know, I'm here and I'm in a new place, man. I'm just ready to learn and to see what the relationships are with everybody and where's home? Everybody's always asking, where's home? But it's where you're born, where your mother lives, where your you are, where your partner is, where your ex is. It's always that thing. I mean, for a lot of immigrant people, even kids who are born, like in Canada, from West Indian parents, they talk about home as like in the West Indies. Yeah, man, go home, man. Or, you know, go home last Christmas, or this person go home. They weren't born there. Some of them have never been there, right? And as immigrants, when we first go to North America, or even England, people always say, okay, I'm going to give it 10 years. 10 years to work hard or win the lottery, whichever comes first. And then I'm going to go back home, right? So a lot of people still think, after they're over 40 years, they still think of where they grew up as home. So the idea of home, I thought about it a lot. I used to go home regularly to Jamaica, and then I had a daughter, and I took her, and I was so happy to take her. She was about 8, and the girl put on one piece of ball in. I want to go home. I want my room. I want my friend. I said, this is home, sweetie. This is where your mommy was born and grew up. No, no. I want to go back to Toronto. And that kind of woke me up because I realized that was some kind of dream, that I had a life somewhere and that was not going to be her home. She has no interest in Jamaica whatsoever as an individual. So, and then I thought, you know, all my friends, we sit around and, you know, at holiday time, it's about home, right? And I figured, you know what? I think I can reconcile this. Africa is like my grandmother. Jamaica is like my mother. And Canada is like my partner of choice, or ex. So I don't have to be in conflict, right? Like, oh, I have to go home or I have to do that. I can appreciate that they're all part of who I am and be where I am. It's my notion of home. But I did pen a piece about Jamaica. Oh, them days, oh, them days, backyard, oh, the whole talk, and bus laugh for pea soup, a time when everything right, that is all me like to remember, but if it wasn't for the fat one, then the wrong one, then the one that was big and broad, and if it wasn't for the tufted one, then the one that was crowded, full of bad talk, box food out of mouth bark, the one that was father working in other people's yard, and it wasn't for the boy, we were handed on shoes to the ground, and the girl whose mother wash and starch our one frock till the cloth tin through. And it was for the one them whose mother selling at the market and the tower one whose father try a ting, say my sing. If it wasn't for them there, accept ones just as them stay, go on, go on, share the look of them up, don't pop stylish like them is big sin ting. And wasn't for some of the oldsters who said children full of spirit and life and must survive, jump and prance, tackle new heights and give respect regardless. And the people that will expect good things from you and all those who cheer you on. And wasn't for the friends them who delegate them see and still herself with apologies to no one. And wasn't for the people them who had them fight, make up and love again, sin thing and time, front and behind. Them people them may say, is the ones them who make life worth it. Them people that may say with little or nothing squeeze soup out of rocks. Make you feel whoever you be, you is not alone. You can't call fit them home, your own. It's them people them let me remember my home. Cause the one them who arrive at school in a chauffeur car, the one them never did invite you to them yard star. No, they won't even give you time a day. Ask your old things still.
And if it wasn't for the music and the sighting up of things and the good something that come from a people deep within, it wasn't for the goddess and the grandmothers, the uncles and the aunts, the cousins, them who check in, fill the void, make all the parts. It wasn't for family and friends and sisters and brethren, them. And if it wasn't for the sunset and the weather and the rain and the air suit free to breathe, trees them for ice to feast, and the sky when I get colonized, me wouldn't the things of my home so sweet. No! Me wouldn't the things of my home so sweet. And it was for a place called home, a spirit that sets you apart but not alone. And the vibes and the niceness from inside burn bright as the sun, although sometimes oppression clutch you and frustration bubble deep down. If it wasn't for the music rubbing street early morning walks, river bath, it wasn't for the heat, breeze, rice and peas, Sunday morning ackee and sausage, Easter bun with cheese, bullet fritters, dumpling and sericy tea. And it wasn't for the deep shining blackness that be an ancestral drum, and everybody that run under groan, knowing how we survive with the music by our side and the drum. And it wasn't for the love we give one another, the light of the face of desire, that give a room a glint, that make me tink. Lord, black people sweet, sir. And it wasn't for the beat of a heart that don't set itself from Africa apart. In an easier foreign parts, we would have it lost. Oh, Lord, we would have it lost.
This one is my favorite poet. But somebody asked Margaret Atwood what was her favorite book, and she said, "I can't say it, but it's all here." But this poem breaks all the rules for me, and it's about giving birth, but it's also about revolution. I think that's what birth teaches us. Is you know, revolution, which is bringing something in the world and take care of it and let it grow and blossom. My daughter's name is Anta, by the way. This little girl they call Anta. This little girl they call Anta. This little girl they call Anta. Me pregnant in my belly and my head full of jelly and me vomit and me sleep and me eat and me sleep and me sigh. Lord, Jalo no. Me never know say it's so rough, me never know say it's so tough. And this little girl, she wouldn't come the minute before she ready for born. And the months them pass and me out view. Last. And the months them pass and me out view. Last. And this little girl, she wouldn't come the minute before she ready for born. I'm a labor, why? And it hurt, you see? And it dread, you see? But this little girl, she wouldn't come the minute before she ready for born. I'm a labor, and she's sweet, you see. This little girl we call Anta. This little girl we call Anta. This little girl we call Anta. Ah ha 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 ha.